So I'm Sat's dad. That's how I introduce myself to people. I'm Sat's dad, Aldrich. Hallelujah. It's a real privilege every time I come here. I love coming here to Shangri-La. Vancouver Island. I will say one thing, though, about Penticton where I live, and that is cherries for $1.75. County but here. We bathe in cherries down there. No, we don't. Don't believe that. So today, I'm going to, my theme a little bit today is about memory. Memory is a funny thing. You know, all the people over 50 go, yeah. You know, and so an example of that happened on my way here. I was on the ferry, and I was so tired because of that traffic that Vancouver has. I don't understand that. It's a parking lot, a long, strict parking lot. And so anyways, I was in the ferry in burst there in my truck, and I thought I'm just going to have a nap. And so I put my seat right back to full recline, and then I just passed out. And then, but when I woke up, I'd forgotten I was on the ferry, and I had thought that I was actually driving and falling asleep at the wheel with my seat reclined. And it was the scariest thing ever, because I'm like, how did I get reclined? And I'm trying to, like, keep walking by, just flailing arms and legs, and, you know, and just heart attack. And, you know, it was really scary. Well, the other time I did that one, there's more, but this one here is, I was actually a passenger in a car, and we're driving down the road, and I fall asleep again, and I'd forgotten that I wasn't driving, and I woke up, and I just remember, you know, grabbing my steering wheel. That's going to help. You're already asleep, right? So, just in time to go over the cliff. Yeah. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is, and I thought, well, what do we as Christians, what do we need to remember? You know, because sometimes, you know, you get caught up in life. And some very important things we give a nod to, but then we do really remember what they are. And so this is just kind of like a reminder of some very, very important things that we need to remember as Christians. Right? And so have you guys watched YouTube? I watch a lot of YouTube. Okay. And on Facebook, these things come to the top five thing, the top five of this, or the top ten of this. And they always start, at the worst, maybe the worst one, but like the lowest number, right? So they go 5, 4, 3, 2. So that's what I'm going to do today. And this is called the top five things that all Christians need to remember. And then, just remember how that progression goes. Like the most unpopular one goes first at number 5, and then the most popular one comes in at the very top. So I'm going to kind of go through these quickly, and then I'm going to focus on number 1 a little bit longer than these other ones. Okay? So number five, the top 5 all things Christians need to remember. I can't read my own writing. Okay, number 5. You will die. Everyone's quiet. You will die. This is how you start a sermon, right? Hey, everyone, you're all going to die. Right? And, but not only that, but anything physical that you see, by the way, just look around you, everything is going to disappear one day. It's all going to get burned up. Right? And everyone's like, okay, what? This isn't funny. I've been thinking to myself, if people are, got the list of people not to invite to, or for party gyms, one, stretch him up there, kind of scary guy. So you will die. Revelation chapter 21. Number 5. I want to actually check it out. Says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Not just part. Also, there was no more sea. So it's kind of like, well, there's all my land investment on the oceanfront property gone. And then 2 Peter says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So, it's like, you know, the popular guy, so, you're a prize. Hey, you know that everything's going to be, you're going to die. Okay. Why do I say this? Because everything around us is temporary. We forget that sometimes as Christians. We think that what we're building, the thing or the house, or the physical thing, is going to last forever. And it's not, because, in fact, look all around you. I mean, the beautiful trees and all those cherries and tent fiction won't exist no more. It's all going to get burned up. Okay, I'll get to this more stuff here. So that's what I'm going to focus on now. So that's number five. We are in a temporary state of being here. It's temporary. Number four. Top five of all things Christians need to remember is that you will not die. That was close. Right? No, you're not going to die. The thing around us will disappear. The gym transportation system, which is my truck, right? Which I haven't really taken care of. You should always take care of your transportation systems because they got to get you around. And so anyway, we're not going to die, because when you accept the Lord into your heart, you will live forever. Actually, you know what? You're living forever right now. I don't dive too deep into that. That's a bit of a rabbit hole for me sometimes. But we live in eternity. And when you let go of the carcass, either, a long time from now, or today walking out of the building, no, I can't. I don't want to freak anybody out. You never know what's coming. When you let go, then you live on with Jesus. And you know what? Not only that, it says you get a new body, which I'm really looking forward to. Mine's gonna have lots of hair. It's like flu. It's gonna be off. Blonde. Sure. Anyway. I prefer wavy. So that's good. So number one, number five is that you live in a temporary state. But number four is we really don't spiritually. But not only that, when the resurrection comes, new earth. The old one's passed away. We're going to get a new one. We're going to get way better oceans. Way better, right? The dolphins will know me by name. I don't know, but it's in there. It's in the book. Matthew chapter 22 says, talks about the resurrection. Oh, it says neither marry nor be given in marriage, for they're like angels in heaven. So no marriage happening up there. Okay, number three of the top five is you have a purpose. You have a purpose. You're not just here just to do stuff. Right? A lot of times we as Christians, we get so involved in just doing stuff. Some people ask, Jim, how's it going? I said, I don't know, same old, work, eat, wait, go to church. That's not your purpose. Right? We're here for a reason. You are here for a reason. And it's not just to have kids and grandkids and dogs and cats and work. But we are placed here. You are placed here today. And your purpose follows you wherever you go. There's a primary purpose, and in Ecclesiastes talks about it. Chapter 12. Rather, Ecclesiastes 4, he went through a whole lot of work to find out two simple things. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's purpose. Fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus says is, you love me, you will obey me. But what you tell us to do? Basically two simple things. God has told us to do, love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he has placed you with all your giftings and your personality and your talents where you're supposed to be to get the fullest manifestation of what that is. He has a purpose for you. Number one purpose is to serve God. That's our number one purpose. It's not to get an MBA. My purpose is not to be, a nurse. I'm a nurse, by the way. That wasn't a joke. where do you work? I don't want to go there. So your purpose is not your career. Your career might be a part of the purpose that God has for you and where he's putting you. But your number one purpose is to serve him, because hopefully you're in your career because God told you to do that. Does that make sense? All right. And then there's the general wise thing, like, you know, go tell everybody about Jesus. Right? That's the love your neighbor as yourself. Number two. God loves you. Now, this sounds kind of interesting that I say for Christians to remember that, but you need to remember that. I mean, I went through some pretty horrendous things about 5 years ago, and I've known the Lord since I was 20, and, you know, and, so 30, you need the Lord for 30 years. And it was like I understood for the first time that God loved me. God loves you. He loves you. He's fighting for you. You got his full attention. Did you know that? The God of the universe, the whole universe in the palm of his hand, you have his fullest attention. He loves you. He pursues you. He wants to hear what you have to say. Every night with God is date night. Right? He loves you so much. Even when you think that you're not lovable or you've done something, you've messed up, he still loves you. You can do the worst thing ever. I'm serious. The worst thing ever. And he still loves you. You gotta meditate on that. You gotta think about that. Because we like to knock ourselves down. But we like to hear negative stuff. There's a lot of negative stuff out there. Right? God loves you. You gotta remember that. Don't forget that. I'm gonna do it for time. Another hour left, yeah, okay? God loves you, but he wouldn't put you through that. Romans chapter 8, verse 39 says, height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just want to think about that for a little bit. Because this is one of the things that we've heard over and over and over again, and we kind of shuffle off to the side and think, yeah, I know that. Right? But do you know that? Right? You can't earn that, by the way. You can't earn God's love. He already loves you. You already got it. You already have it. Right? That was number two. Now here's number one, and I want to focus a little bit longer on it than the other ones. God loves everyone else more than you do. So God loves you, but you know what? Your neighbor, he loves your neighbor way more than you do. He loves your kid
way more than you love your own child. Right? God is interested in your spouse way more than you are. So what does that mean? Well, it kind of takes away some of the angst from telling people about Jesus or ministering to somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have a role to play here. We should all love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? We should all love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But because God loves everybody else more than you do, that means that He knows what's best for those people more than you do. Right? So that's awesome, because we can suspend judgment of wherever we go and whomever we meet. Because what do I know? What do I know about that person? I can look on the outside and I can think, that's a weird dude. Right? You know, we go a lot by outward appearances. Right? Someone would look at me and think, there's a successful man. What? What? You know, we go by outward appearance. I remember when I was in youth of the mission back when I was 23 years old, I was in the park where we do an outreach, and I was young in the Lord, and we're in a church in the park, and I was sitting across from this one of the leaders, and I called her like the Nancy Christian. I mean, she had that. You know the dress with the crinoline? You know, like, seriously, it was like, you know, like this bounces. Anyways, we're in a park like that. Anyway, so I got a sweatpants and a t-shirt, but I was underdressed. We're praying, and then these two Hispanic guys with the mirrored sunglasses, put back hair, wheel hairstyle, right? And had this big boom box back then. And they were playing some Van Halen and the song Running with the Devil. Right? Totally freaked me out, because they're saying right there, they're running with the devil. And they just had that thing cranked, eh? And I'm getting all agitated because I'm thinking, oh Lord God, we're getting attacked by these guys. The devil's attacking us. They're even the song saying it. And this young lady goes, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. So, don't go! They're running with the devil! Don't go! You're saying it! It's so loud! They're going to take you with them! So she went up there, and they turned the music down, and she let one of them go. So, what do I know? It's the same thing. Someone could be saying something and not saying something. Alright? God loves people more than we do. We can relax. We can just relax. And whomever you're talking to, whether it be a person who's not a Christian or a person who is a Christian, I think it'd be wise to talk to Jesus and ask him what he wants to say to that person. A lot of times rather than just jumping in and saying something. Because God knows that person's heart. And sometimes we don't have to say anything. Sometimes, you know, like more times than not, I should just shut up, really. I make the worst blunders. And a lot of times I have found that when I don't say something, people think I'm smart. Right?
awesome little trick I learned, rather than open my mouth and confirm the opposite. I run a senior facility, and I got 100 staff. And I don't know, for some reason, employees think that the boss knows everything. I don't know what that is. And I remember I had a bunch of staff, and he said, well, they're asking me this question. And I said, look, I said, I just look smart. I have a clip for you. That's why I got hired. I had a clip. When I went to the interview, I had a clip for it. They hired me. I don't know anything. So you guys are going to have to solve this yourself here. And the look on their faces were like, jumping ship, jumping, you know, like, you know. I mean, honestly, though, I mean, just because we know stuff doesn't mean we know the best stuff. God knows everything. He knows the best stuff. And we can make decisions and we can make choices based on what we know without going to Him. Especially if you've been there a long time. I mean, I've been heading towards heaven for the 30-some years. I think I know some stuff, man. Been there, done that. I've been there. I remember back, 1992. Very particular thing, exactly like this, and that's what we're going to do. No. Go to Jesus. No. I'm not talking to you, Lord, what color of socks should I wear? No. That's your wife's job to tell you what you're wearing. Me, it's my little Pomeranian. Look, look, look. Blue? Yep. I went to the red, just get all black socks. Don't have to make a choice. Now there's a place for experience. Right? I mean, that's why you got old people in church. The only gray hair, each one of these gray hairs has a name and a date attached to it. Sasha. 1986. Me. Stupid decision. 1920. I look pretty good, eh? Tell you my secret later. So why is this so important? Well, we live in a weird world. This is not the same planet that I remember like 20, 30 years ago. And there's some weird stuff happening, right? There's weird stuff happening. You know, and so we as Christians, we're kind of thinking, well, how do we reach out? How do we help people see the truth so that they can go to heaven too? You know, everyone lives forever in one of two places. We are going to live forever in heaven, but those who do not know Jesus are going to live forever in hell. And sometimes we forget that. But it's true. So we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be that beacon on a hill. And how do we do that when the world is just going nuts? Well, we have to ask God. And then we have to do what He tells us to do. Alright? Because you can know something, but tell it at the wrong time.
right? We have to be more attentive to what the Lord is telling us to do and be more obedient to Him on a daily basis if we want to reach this world. Because it's a complex world. And just so you know, everybody that's not a Christian thinks we're nuts. Everybody who does not know Jesus thinks that we're a bunch of crazy people. You read some of the stuff and you think, yeah, that's what I think we're crazy. It's unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh. You know, you never hear that in the song. Unless you eat my... No, you never hear that. In the worship song, right? Unless you drink my blood, eat my flesh. You're like, what? But I mean, it's so true. And you know, those poor disciples back then, you know, because we put it in the context, they're going, man, I can't handle this. Well, they ran away, you know. But remember, God loves everyone else more than you do. And if we could listen to Him, then when we say something or do something, it will be what He wants, because He knows that person or those people. Right? And sometimes it's just better off not to do anything. I'm not saying everything. You know, sometimes it's pretty blatant, right? You know? You know, Doug does right go off. Can't help you, I gotta pray to Jesus first here. Matt? What? No, he's not saying anything now. I'm not talking about the obvious, you know. But you're gonna encounter people that you just don't know, or so rather than just give a pat answer, pray about it. Or tell that person, I don't know. Honesty is awesome. You know, just because you're Christian doesn't mean you know everything. Right? God's the only one that knows everything. We want to reach this world. And we need to reach this world. You know? I mean, I look down at what's happening down south. We've got 350 million people down there, and every one of them got 10 rifles or something like that. You know? I just stay calm down there. Just take off. If you've got 4 years left, I don't know if you're ready to read or not. I don't want to get into politics here, but I'm just saying, there's lots of fear. There's lots of fear in the world. Well, who is the author of fear? Right? If the message out there in the world is fear, where do you think that's coming from? Okay. There is no fear in Christ Jesus. And so we've got to remember not to use the same methods of the enemy to further the kingdom of God. We are a people of peace. You know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. You know, we've got to produce those things. If we're producing fear, I don't know, maybe that's not the kingdom of God. Fear is not the same as respect, by the way, or honor. Respect, different. I know the King James Version says fear, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, I honestly, you know, and something to, and in context here too is that you know, I just one of the things I want to settle here. This is kind of a little bit separate from the topic here, but and it's about the question of fear in the world, etc. And how we think the world, you know, there's a weird stuff happening in the world, right? But you know, I just want you to know that there's been weird stuff happening in the world thousands of years. Weird stuff. Weirder than this. I mean, there was a time when the ruler of the greatest country on the earth lit up his patio with the bodies of Christians. And they're like, oh! It was almost normal back then. You can go back in history and look at all kinds of cultures. Large, organized cultures where there had some pretty weird stuff happen. Okay? God was still there, scroll that. Right? I don't think anything that comes that we produce is going to surprise Jesus. And if it doesn't surprise Him, okay, shouldn't surprise us. It should make us go closer to Him. Because the difference is, we're in it now. We're not in it back then, but we're in it now. Right? So there's kind of an urgency about that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Anyways. So I'm going to close. And John chapter 12, verse 32 says, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. That's Jesus. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. But Jesus is the one who draws people to him. Right now, as we speak, he is pulling on the hearts of every single human being. And we can trust in that. And we can know that he wants them to be with him for eternity. He's doing everything he can to do that. The other thing to remember is that he has equipped us. He has given you, every one of you, skills and talents and gifts to get that done. To come alongside him. Come alongside Jesus and say, okay, God, how do you want me to use this? And to whom and to when? Right? And because he knows us, because he loves us, it's going to be something that really floats your boat. He's not going to place you into something that doesn't fit you. You know, it's weird, you know. When I became a registered nurse, what happened was I was working in a sawmill. Sawmill shut down. I needed to retrain to do something. And when I was going through the pamphlets at the college, I looked at there, there was one about nursing there, and never entered my mind until I read that pamphlet. You know? And so when I decided to become a nurse, everyone thought, are you kidding me? I knew in my heart it's what God wanted me to do, and I'm telling you, I'm sure glad I listened to him. Right? Because I'm not saying I'm the best nurse, but it's something I've enjoyed, and it's something that has really helped grow me as a person. Right? And it came out of nowhere. And I obeyed him, and I've been doing it for 25 years. And I'm telling you, it's one of the best decisions I've ever made. You know, beating the God. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to close. Unless you want me to go longer, I can go longer. Because if you pass out, remember you're not driving. Okay. Let's just close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for today. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, and we can trust you to help us to do whatever you need us to do. Lord, that you have sent us out as abandoned children, but Lord, you have sent us out as your children, Lord God, as belonging to you, and equipped to do the job you have us to do. And Lord, help us remember that. Lord, help us remember that you love us, and but you also love everyone else more than we do. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.